Well, one thing I want to mention before I say anything else is that I forgot to mention smiling. That sitting without a smile creates a negative sense in the mind. We more or less, it comes and goes, but if you turn just a little bit of the edges of your lips up, you will feel how your mind changes. You see, on every Buddha statue, there's always a little smile. And it's a physiological help for us. And it also encourages each other. Because if we see each other walking around like this all the time, which is very Zen, we miss it. We miss this part. Or, anyway, that's my suggestion to everyone. And then, as usual, having spent so much time these last days at Jikoji, I just have to say again how impressed I am with how beautifully it has been developed. And what I see everywhere I turn is someone's hard work. Every single thing we see was done by hand, just about. And done by people who weren't paid for it, just about. This is all we talked about institutions yesterday. This is an institution, but it's you could say a liberal volunteer organization, which depends on everybody. Completely depends on everybody. If people disappear, Jikoji disappears. Boom, just like that. It doesn't take much to lose, though we think it looks so solid. Oh, it could never go away. But easy it can, without support. And maybe the emperor will come down on us one of these days and say, oh, we don't want Buddhism anymore, and close it all up. That's what happened in Japan and China. Politics got involved, and then it went away for a while. But as long as we're here and able to take care of it, it's such an opportunity for practicing generosity. For practicing dana. We talk about self-clinging. We've been talking about self-clinging a lot. One of the very first essential practices is dana paramita. There, it's about giving, but giving is about surrendering the self, and it's about connecting with everything. We say it's connecting with somebody else, but it's really connecting with everything, with every small thing that we give. Buddha said, even a pebble, if it's given with authenticity and sincerity, it's being offered to the whole of everything, the cosmos. Everything affects everything else. And all our little gestures and all our little actions and the things that we do have an effect. Our withholding has an effect. And withholding is usually about protecting ourself. Oh, I can't. Too shy? or that person is bigger than I am, or more important than I am, or I'm more important than that person. We do all these tricks in our mind, trying to maneuver ourselves through the world as an important person, as one that can sustain herself, who can keep this self going in some kind of way. Here I am. So generosity almost automatically requires some change. The ability to give up something. Pema Chodron in Nova Scotia asked her students to bring to a retreat their most precious thing. And one of my students took, I think, her grandmother's watch or something really, really special. And Pema asked them to put it on the altar. And of course, they were glad to do that. Thank you very much. And then when they left, they never saw it again. It's gone. And it was a shock. You feel it? Something happens. Something about that holding on. So I hope, for Jikoji's sake, that support continues to develop. John tells me we're on even keel now, which is really nice to know. Really nice to know. but we all owe such a debt of gratitude to this place that I just want to sell my house and give all my money to Jikoji, but I don't think I'm better yet. Anyway, later, very much later. But in our culture, it's so hard to develop that kind of mind. It's like the first couple of days of sitting, when our minds are just churning with all kinds of stuff. Because we live in a world of all kinds of stuff, but that's natural for the mind. But when we go back to the world, it's so hard to keep a steady mind. So hard not to abandon the practice. It takes a steady, steady, steady way, not just at Sesshin, but every day. It changes the mind every day. And from greed, hate, and delusion, it changes to generosity and kindness. Because it becomes more clear. Usually we're in a fog. Usually it's so confusing. What will I do next? And I better call that person and I better jump in the car. And we're running all the time, it seems to me. And in a way, it's a tremendous waste of what's pure and perfect in you that can be so useful in the world. That can create a pure and peaceful world all around you. And I know it's the hardest job in the world. Part of it means selecting carefully who you know and how those can help you, and be sure to have helpers, dependable helpers. That's very, very helpful. We don't do anything by ourselves. We are not by ourselves. We belong to our cushion, cushion and the mat and the mat and the floor and the beams and all of it. We just think we're all by ourselves. And if we don't reach out, we don't remember. We lose the sense of community and communing. When we truly meet, it's spirit communing with spirit. And we all know if we are just casually sometimes in walking in a park and stop to pat a dog and look at to nod at the person who belongs to the dog, and the eyes meet just for a moment, something happens. Spirit meets spirit that way. It doesn't take much except the willingness to surrender to the wholeness of it. It happens with trees and grass and stars too. We can meet anything with spirit. But it requires, as we know in Sesshin, surrender. Surrender of our big ideas. In fact, almost all of our ideas. Thinking is mostly useless. By the time we're able to think about something, it's over. And we're thinking about something else. And none of it's real. In the meantime, we're just sitting here, or lying in bed, or taking a walk, blah, 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 blah. It's not so helpful unless we're very, very clear and can stay steady in our minds and our bodies and allow what is our best person to be. Nothing special, nothing fabulous, nothing ecstatic, just this. So that's a short talk, but that's what I brought today. Are there questions? Malcolm?
Been struggling with gaining mine. I came here largely because of the experience I had 3 years ago. And I said, ah.
You want it again?
Again.
Yes.
So it's been fascinating to watch.
Yes.
That piece. And in fact, today while we were going walking Kenyon, outside Kenyon, I was really looking and you know, being in this forest, in this wonderful place, mm-hmm. and again seeing that gaining mind. So what am I going to get? Come on.
Yes. Yes.
And it was fascinating to see that and how pervasive it was. And then just to recognize that I could just be with.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Just be with.
Yes.
And it was, you know, now, mind you, it sounds like I made some kind of transformation, but it's not true. I'm still going, so.
But you're knowing about it.
Yeah.
That's the point. That's the point of the precepts, knowing about it. Thank you. Oh, sorry.
sometimes when you're sitting, it's a little confusing for me to know if I'm not using meditation as a tool for avoidance. Because there can be a calmness that arises with it, of just really being, just trying not to manipulate and just be there. But it still seems that there are some things that I'm really working with off the cushion, or I'll be working with them at the beginning of the meditation session. They might go away, then they come back.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's natural.
And I'm a little careful with, the whole term spiritual bypassing has been the catchphrase. I like that term.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's not what I'm interested in doing necessarily, but sometimes meditation can feel like a salve.
Yeah.
And is there a way to know the difference, whether it's just kind of naturally working or if you're really kind of using it to step out of what's going on, even on a subtle level?
I don't think you can measure that. I don't think you can really know. Except in a very vague way. But just to be very, very careful about noticing what's happening. The Quakers warned about becoming tranquilized in sitting. There are some Quakers who don't sit because they feel that that's probably a danger. And Suzuki, the original Suzuki Roshi in America, was he wrote volumes and volumes, but he left Zazen out of it completely because he didn't think that Americans would be able to do it without spacing out. So it's a point. It's a very good point. And indeed, we really can't tell except by ourselves. Really know why you're sitting and to bring that deep, deep intention to the cushion. So we're not just coming and plopping down and trying to get somewhere be peaceful or getting to be, anything you want to get, you won't, and it's not for that. So when you come, just come with real dignity and gratitude and a strong, strong intention. And then keep that while you sit with deep respect for the sitting and deep respect for all the people that you sit with, so that the whole thing opens up all together rather than just this one little pipsqueak doing something. Okay.
Yeah, that one pig squeak just kind of hit my giggle spot.
I meant it to be. Thank you for your question. Rob?
You mentioned to be clear about why you come to sit.
Yes, the completely not knowing why you come to sit brings you to sit. Right?
Good, because really we don't know.
No, there's no reason at all. Yeah. But we come because we have an intention. We don't know what it is. I think it's just part of our, the development of the human mind. And that I think we're in kindergarten, but that this is what we do because this is what the human world needs in order to proceed. Without it, it becomes pretty chaotic. I may be wrong. The main thing is if you are moved to come to sit, do it. Big time. 100%. Give yourself to it. Surrender to it. In Pure Land, they surrender in the beginning. You say it's all up to Buddha. And they just say, take me. And we come marching into the zendo and plunk ourselves down. And we say, give me something. So I think we meet in the middle somewhere. Both are extreme in a way. And there is a middle place where it's neither and both. That makes sense?
Well, I guess intention, I have to have a sort of a different conception of that, because when I think of intention, I think of this is what I intend to do.
Mm.
Which I guess is making sense as I'm babbling, because, you know, I intend to sit, but, you know, when I think of, you know, bringing an intention, you know, I just get confused because, you know, not knowing my intention, you know, I guess just the word intention gets wrapped up with gaining, you know, but it has to be a lot wider.
Right, right. Maybe it's the wrong word. Something brings us to the cushion. And if we respect it, then we fulfill its requirements, you could say, even though we don't quite know what we're doing. We give ourselves to the process.
Is that similar to what you said about it really can't be defiled?
Mm-hmm. Peter.
And I was confused by your postural description of Pure Land, the surrender, and you seem to be comparing it to sort of Zen or Zazen, and you said, I sit down, pop here, and give it to me. That seems contradictory to the Zazen that Kobe brought us.
Of course.
So of course. You were just being dramatic?
I was just expressing what actually happens. Mm. Every one of us has done that. Haven't we?
Sure. Well, I mean, but it just seemed like it. it could be taken seriously, or
well,
sit down, give it to me. I mean,
no, of course, that is not Dogen's.
You don't mean I always take you literally? Or take things.
No, I hope not. Thank you for clarifying. Yeah.
Well, I feel like I know why I come to the cushion. But I come here because I don't want to suffer. And when my mind is running the show of my body and my experience, it sucks.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, even though it's like sometimes a little painful going through the brambles the first couple days, you know, I'm like, then it's beautiful.
Yes.
And then when it's beautiful, then you can offer that beauty. And it just seems like the only clear recipe for sanity that I have ever encountered.
Yes, yes, it is. It is for all of us.
It's so wonderful because it's so busy in the world. Don't have time to even really stop to appreciate it in a deep way. And when you sit and just let things be, all this love comes up.
Yes.
It's just heaven.
It is. It is. But Andy's question goes back to that. That's one position or one experience of sitting that sustains us and helps us discover what our true self really is. So it's not about getting peaceful. And that's a byway. It happens sometimes, not always. And that's not the point. The point is to discover yourself. Because that's where the suffering is coming from. From what Dogen called self-nature, which is just this busy person who has many stories about who she is and who she wants to be. And if we take those stories seriously in a life and death way, we just invite lots and lots of suffering. I'm reading Kodo Suwaki's book now, and he was so, I want to say, casual about everything. It just, it's what they used to say, oh, let it be. But he did have that attitude of just letting things be the way they are and be with them as best you can and not fuss about it too much. And as I said yesterday, be sure you have support because you can't do it alone. Then you're dancing with everyone.
Sometimes I'm glad you have that experience, Bree, that sometimes when you sit you just face devastation. You know, the whole shit and shaboodle.
Yes.
And
usually I would say.
And it's hard to feel generous when you're in that space because you're so raw.
That's why generosity is so important to do, to express in that position, in that place. Because it will break it.
I find it's really important to be generous to myself first.
Yes.
The small self that has been wounded or struggling or something. And so then there's that opportunity then to find a safe place to meet that generosity elsewhere. But if it's, I mean, you just don't go back into the
absolutely
place
not
that
no
originated.
No, and many people think that's the bodhisattva way, is just keep going back and getting abused. Or going back and being walked on. And that's not the point at all. And the bodhisattva way is considered to be huge and strong, and, you know, and Samantabhadra rides an elephant through the town. And so I think that's our recommendation, is to be big and strong enough to not let ourselves be abused. And if we are abused, then there are a lot of different ways of taking care of that. One of which is forgiveness, if forgiveness is possible.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not, or it takes a long, long time. And sometimes therapy helps. Achen Roshdi used to send people down the hall where he said there was a therapist, and he just made it sort of automatic sometimes. But you would know. You know yourself.
Yeah. Rumi talks about meeting everyone at your door as an honored guest.
Yes.
Sometimes have a hard time with some of those people that come to the door.
Right. We all do. Mm-hmm. If you remember that who you're meeting is another aspect of Buddha, that the reality is we're nobody and we're all idiots, and yet those that we meet are our mates, you could say, what we are, even though it's very, very hard sometimes. Yeah. Malcolm?
You said something again, I'm going to go back for years, but that stuck with me all this time, that's apropos, and that is, you don't have to like everybody, but you have to love.
Yes.
And that just has been one of those pieces that stuck with me all this time, so.
Oh, thank you for remembering. Yes. We can't adore everybody. I mean, there are a lot of creeps in the world that we wouldn't want to adore, but we can love them.
I think there's a side to that, that you can love everybody. I mean, that's somewhat doable, what you're describing, mm-hmm. but there's also boundaries that...
Yes, yes. That's the point. That's the point. And it's tricky sometimes. I mean, it's very tricky. And we have a lot of lessons that we learn and stagger through our life. It's not easy. And often very painful. It takes courage, which I believe you have a lot of. Joe.
Brev talks a lot about the gift of fearlessness.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Well, when I heard him talk about that, I thought, well, he's a guy. He's a big guy, too. It's important to be fearless. It is... In the Heart Sutra, that's what we end up with, is fearlessness. So depending on prajna already just creates a fearless position in our life, in our mind. So yes, I am very enthusiastic about fearlessness in the sense of depending on prajna, on wisdom.
Yeah, it seems like when opportunities come to be generous, there's always, I want to give, but maybe I'm going to need that.
Yes.
Or just walking into a situation, just knowing somebody, but feeling like I need to be protected.
Yeah. Might make a mistake.
Judging them.
Yes. Yeah, that is required. Fearlessness is certainly required. Or some kind of courage, anyway. Courage means heart. Cur, in French, means heart. So it means big-hearted. Wasn't there a knight that was called Big Heart?
Lionheart.
Lionheart. That was Monty Python, wasn't it? Brave Scottish heroes. Oh, I love it.
Maybe Richard.
Monty Python. That was me.
Richard Lionheart.
We have our elephant, so.
We do have our elephant. Yes, I'm very fond of that elephant.
Yeah.
And you talked about the distractions and the nefariousness of, you know, all our commercialism and this idea of surrender and just sitting. And, you know, I think if it was at the Fukan Zazengi where it says, you know, I don't know, the Buddha who faced the, you know, the ancestors who spent all this time, 9 years, looking at the wall, you know, and who would be so foolish as to waste a minute? So I getting some sort of balance, I who am so foolish, wasting so much of my life being distracted or poor time management. It's like, I feel like I need to, you know, like go to a monastery for the rest of my life and just, you know, and that'll probably get me, you know, just... How do you, you know, go to a movie? Where I always feel like I'm so wasteful of time. They don't sit enough that to enjoy some of the richness of some of the distractions.
I agree. It's very, very difficult. Really is. And I would recommend, since you're not working much anymore, that you create a much quieter situation where you live. And create a circle of friends who are quiet with you so that you have time to practice and time to appreciate your life rather than trying to make it more. It's already good.
I agree, actually. I know, you know, my social life tends to be with my sanghas, you know, that I go to.
Yeah.
But then somebody will say, oh, I'm looking for a movie date. Would you like to go, you know, across the bay? And I'm thinking, not really, but it's a dear friend. And it probably would be an interesting thing if I were to go to a party to talk to other people about that at some level. So
that's
it's
fine. That's fine. You just have to be careful how you choose. Coben loved movies, you know. So it's not about living a pure life. It's an aware life. Being aware of why you're doing what you're doing.
And balance it.
Yeah.